This is Courage to Resist, bringing you the voices of the troops who refuse to fight. In 2006, at the strong urging of her family, Bethany Schuyler James joined the U.S. Army. In spite of the fact that she was opposed to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the fact that she was an out lesbian. After a year in the military, suffering ongoing harassment because of her sexuality, and hearing gruesome stories about Iraq and Afghanistan from returning vets, Schuyler decided she'd had enough and, with a soldier friend, went AWOL to Canada, where she has lived for the past year. She spoke to Courage to Resist from her new home in Ontario. Schuyler, thanks for talking with Courage to Resist.
Oh, no problem.
Let's start by having you tell us why you joined the Army in the first place.
Well, I joined the Army because my parents thought it would be a really good idea and that I would get travel out of it and get all this experience under my belt. So, like, I didn't want to let my parents down, so I went ahead and did it.
And when was this?
This was back in October of 06.
So there was a war going on when you enlisted.
Yeah.
And did it occur to you at all that you might be sent into combat?
Yeah, it did cross my mind, but I wasn't thinking about it too much.
So obviously it wasn't enough to keep you from joining the Army.
No.
And tell me, did you support the war in Iraq at the time or the war in Afghanistan? Were you in favor of those wars?
No, not at all.
So you were opposed to both of the wars?
Yeah.
Tell us, what were you doing before you joined? Did you have a job?
Yeah, I had a fantastic job. I worked right alongside my mom at a place called Assurant Group. It's a call center.
So it really was just because of the pressure from your family that you decided to enlist?
Yeah.
Now, where did you go for basic training?
I went to Fort Jackson, South Carolina.
And how did basic go for you?
It was really, really difficult. I was already in basic training. I was being ridiculed for being an out lesbian.
So you were an out lesbian when you joined?
Yeah.
And were you aware of the military's don't ask, don't tell policy?
I was vaguely familiar with the don't ask, don't tell policy. And when I joined, I thought that, like, it wouldn't be that big of a deal and that I wouldn't get, like, found out.
But you said in basic you were an out lesbian, so you weren't trying to hide your sexuality.
No, not really.
And you experienced a lot of ridicule?
Yeah.
Any incidents that stand out that were particularly hurtful?
There was one that really caught, that really still stings in my mind. I was in AIT, and I was coming back from the bowling alley, and somebody ran up behind me screaming and screamed out, "Dyke," and the next thing I know, I got punched in the back of the head.
Oh my goodness, did you report the incident?
No, because it was like a week till graduation. I didn't think anything was going to be done.
Well, it must have been awful for you. But you went ahead and finished your AIT, yes?
Yeah.
And after AIT, where were you assigned?
I was in Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
What was your job there?
I was a mechanic in the motor pool.
And how did that go?
It wasn't that great, really.
Was there more harassment there because of your sexuality?
Not at first, because after my experiences in basic and AIT, I tried to calm it down a little bit. I was, like, the only female in the motor pool in the entire battalion, and that really freaked me out, because, like, they would always, like, they would claim me as one of the guys, but then after they found out that I was gay, they, like, completely turned their back on me.
Really? So before they knew about your being a lesbian, they were your buddies. Then when they found out that you were a homosexual, that was it. They were done with you.
Yeah.
And how long were you stationed there before you started to think about not sticking around?
I was there for a year.
Talk a little bit about your thought process when you began to consider leaving the Army.
Well, I was just getting really tired of being ridiculed. I was receiving hate letters on my door threatening to injure me and come into my room at night and kill me. So I had a talk with another soldier who was in the same battalion, and we both decided that it would be best for us to leave.
You didn't think it would be helpful to talk to your chain of command about this?
Actually, I tried to get one of my sergeants to let me talk to the first sergeant about being a homosexual and having homosexual conduct and whatnot, and he told me flat out, no, I will not let you talk to the first sergeant about it.
So you were denied the opportunity to talk about the way you were treated?
Yeah.
Now tell me, while you were stationed there, did you have any contact with soldiers returning from Iraq or Afghanistan?
Yeah. They were everywhere, and they would always talk about what they did to the people over there in Iraq.
And did you hear stories that were troubling to you?
Yeah, like, these are horrible things, and why are they bragging about them and trying to one-up each other?
So I suppose that got added into the mix in your mind. I mean, the harassment you were undergoing and the disturbing stories about the way U.S. soldiers were treating Iraqi people, is that right?
Yeah.
Now, was there any possibility of your being deployed?
Yeah, we were told that we were going to be deployed to Afghanistan.
And when did you find out about that?
I don't remember when they told us, but I do remember when we were supposed to go.
So you talked with your friend at Fort Campbell, and you decided to leave, right?
Yeah.
So what did you do then?
It was like a really, really quick decision. It was a Friday night, and he approached me about it and said, "Do you still want to go up north?" And I had no idea what he was talking about. So he had to clarify that he meant Canada.
What'd you do, just jump in a car and drive away?
We got in his truck and loaded all our belongings into it and just drove away.
And how long did it take you to get from Fort Campbell into Canada?
It took us 3 straight days. We didn't really stop or sleep at all.
And where'd you go in Canada?
We came into Windsor.
Into Windsor, Ontario.
Yeah, and we were heading to Montreal, but we kind of ran out of gas at Cornwall.
Did you have any trouble crossing the border?
Not really. Like, at first they said, "We need to see your passport and birth certificate and blah, blah, blah." And we're like, "Well, we don't really have that." And he said, "Well, just show me your military IDs." And then he asked where we were going. And we told him that we were visiting Toronto because we knew that they had a big war resistor support campaign there.
So you got into Canada. And did you make contact right away with the war resistor support campaign?
No, not right away. We were just, like, getting a feel for Canada. Like, it was really, really exciting. And then when we ran out of gas, I was like, you know, I think it'd be a really good idea to call them now.
And so you did. And have they been helpful?
Oh, yeah. They're very helpful. Like, if we had not contacted them, we probably wouldn't be where we are right now.
So tell me what your situation is right now.
I'm allowed to work in this country, and I am. I have a job that I have to go do today. I have a nice little apartment, and so does Jeremy, and we're both pretty happy.
So you're feeling good about your decision?
Yeah.
No second thoughts?
No, not really.
Now, what about your family? It was your family that convinced you to go into the military in the first place. How have they reacted to what you've done?
Well, when I first came here and they found out, they were really upset. They wanted me to come back, like, right then. And I had to make them understand why I couldn't. Like, it wasn't only I didn't want to go back and get arrested. It's the fact that I didn't have any money. I couldn't go back even if I wanted to. And they were really, really upset about everything. But my mom came around, and she supports me now. Like, she still wants me to come home. But she's like, "I want you to be happy." And my dad is undecided yet.
He's a tougher case.
Yeah.
Now, you said earlier that you're opposed to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Have you done any anti-war work up there in Canada?
I haven't recently because I've been working a lot. But when I first got here, I would go with the War Resistor Support Campaign all the time and do a bunch of rallies.
We've been talking recently with Robin Long, who, as you know, was deported from Canada and is in jail in Colorado awaiting court-martial. And just the other day, Jeremy Hinsman was ordered to leave the country. That's a fate that could be awaiting all resistors in Canada. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's a little unnerving, but I'm willing to face whatever.
And you feel you've done the right thing?
Yeah.
Do you want to say anything about the kind of anti-homosexual harassment you faced and other gays and lesbians face in the military?
I don't feel it's right at all. Like, I wouldn't want anybody else to have to go through what I face personally. And I don't agree with the don't ask, don't tell policy. And I don't know, like, I don't like it.
Has your sexuality been an issue for you in Canada?
Not at all. They welcomed me with open arms.
So you seem to be in a place that's happy and comfortable for you, but you must also be feeling the uncertainty of your position there.
In my opinion, it could go either way. It's like a pendulum. Like, on one side of it, I'm relaxed and I'm enjoying a very comfortable lifestyle. And then on the other side, I could be deported at any time. I'm, like, freaked out.
Well, we're all hoping that the Canadian government will listen to the will of the Canadian people and the Canadian Parliament and stop the deportations of U.S. war resistors. Good luck to you, Skylar. You're a brave woman to defy the U.S. Army and the U.S. government the way you have, and we applaud your courage. Thanks for talking with Courage to Resist.
Thank you.